Blog Talk Radio.
I'll have a blue at Christmas without you. I feel so blue. It's just thinking about you. It'll be decorations of red on a green Christmas tree. It won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, it'll be that when those blue memories start calling, you'll be doing right with your Christmas right. But I'll have a blue Christmas. Baby, I'll miss you. Christmas.
Well, Merry freaking Christmas to all my freaks out there. This is Ryan.
And this is Celeste.
Yeah, yes it is.
Oh my God.
You sound weird.
My voice totally cracked.
Celeste is going through puberty on air while we talk. Celeste's tits are growing out. Woo! She's becoming a woman on the air as we speak. So that's awesome. That's awesome. We get this. Girl, you'll be a woman soon. Like right now.
Right now.
That's right. Right now. Awesome. Woman. So this is the Christmas special, and I got to warn you, I just got a cold, hit me like a ton of bricks, so.
Hit him like a Mack truck going to Christmasville.
Yes, hit me like Santa's sleigh to keep with the Christmas motif. Now,
Ryan got ran over by a reindeer.
Yeah, I feel like I did. I feel like I got ran over by like 10 reindeer. Oh man, we know we had a semi Christmas show with Holly and the Connor sisters, a few weeks ago. But honestly, I don't really feel like thinking too much tonight. So this is gonna be a fun show, just relaxed and festive and merry and whatever other adjective that belongs to Christmas I can think of.
Food.
All in one.
But that's not an adjective.
Food, yes. No, it's not. But we can make it one. Dude, you are so food. Oh, my God. You are so fucking food tonight. Oh, my God. Eh, my God.
You know, we walk around and start doing that. It's like, you're so food. People are going to be like, did you mispronunciate the word good? Nope, food.
Yeah. No, it's food. It's food now. That's how it is. So you food. We gotta think of what food means though. Is it like you're just awesome, you know, or it's like, dude, you're food. Seriously.
Well, I mean,
dude, you're
I guess
so food.
It'd be
depending
on like the way, because I mean, like even if like actual food is good, it can be bad. So I guess it's the way you use it with other words.
That's true. Well, give me an example of a bad food moment. Where you're like, dude, seriously? That was food. Like if someone says a bad gay joke or something like that, dude, seriously? Food.
That was
that's food, dude. Come on.
Dude.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Come on,
that
dude.
Was totally food. Like,
yeah.
Cut it out.
Or if someone like you know someone says something nice or does something good, you're like, dude, that's pretty food to you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah.
pretty food. That was pretty damn food.
Or you, or what you do is you just.
I'm confusing myself here now because I don't even know. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
Instead
I'm not,
of
I'm,
saying
I'm
the word
yet.
Good now, we're just
yeah,
going to say
well,
the
mean,
word food. So like food
yeah,
night, right. like good night, but food night.
Good night. But well, yeah, it's like word bad. I mean, bad's good now. That was bad, man. That was awesome. Now it's
okay.
good. Badass.
Yeah, so.
No one ever says good ass. If I say good ass, I guess you look at somebody's ass. That's actually looking at an ass. But if you say badass, that's why. Why does it doesn't make any sense? Badass.
That's a badass. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but this,
I've never
seen it. If you analyze it, you're like, that's badass. What's
yeah.
where does the ass come in? Why do you say badass? Or like, I couldn't give three fucks. Wouldn't you give three fucks? That
right.
doesn't even make any sense. Why would you give three fucks? Who are you giving the fucks to?
Why would you give
you,
them
you
away?
Giving them away now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, I guess people just want zero fucks given, so.
I mean, are you that just like not into sex? You won't even like, I'm not giving three fucks. Shit, I could give three fucks. If I had someone to give three fucks too, I would. Shit, I'm giving away. I'm not going to make them pay for it, that's for sure. I want to charge three
illegal.
Fucks. Yeah, what? Is it three fucks in a row? Is it three fucks over time? You know, is boom, boom, boom,
is
one, two, three?
One?
No, I mean, is it? I mean, I got to have some time between the fucks to get myself back up again, you know? Because once I do my business, I can't just turn around and start fucking again. I mean, I don't know how to, I mean, girls, they can just keep going. Guys, they got to, once they do, they got to, like, you know, they got to just calm down for a second, get the stamina back up again, you know, and then start over again. We need time to adjust, to like, just
maybe it's
center
like
ourselves.
Coupon.
Is yeah, like oh, true. Like a coupon book, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
They used to give to your parents, minus the fucks, because that'd be really weird if you gave to your parents.
Why would you give that to your parents?
I don't know. I'm out of West Virginia. I have no idea. I said it would be weird if you did. I said you did. I didn't say
oh,
me.
I heard, like, you give it to your parents. I would be like,
well, they're coupon
no.
books, but I said minus the fucks. You know, free
hugs.
Free, you know, free high five every once in a while.
Yeah.
I charge for my high five. High five, that's $5 right there. We're talking about shit. What do you think the five's for?
Yeah. One finger?
So, yeah,
you want all five fingers to touch? You're paying $1 for
that's going to cost you. Shit, you better earn those fingers. Fuck. Yeah. This is an interesting. See?
Mm-hmm.
I told the show was going to be easy.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about nothing.
It's always easy. I lay in bed and then
your,
I talk.
That's there we go. I'm walking on. I'm in the office.
Oh, nice.
Which I enjoy, actually. I'd actually for full, you know, divulging. Divulging? Diversion? Divulge. I guess divulging is a word. It's not. I'm making one up. I'm doing my show from the office, from my office. It's, I don't want to say relaxing. It's just quiet. I like that. I can walk around. In the summertime, I walk around the outside of the office. I walk around, like, the office park, but it's too effing cold to do that.
I could walk around outside right now. Barefoot.
Oh, well. Well, Lottie freaking doll.
What's your plan for Christmas?
Oh, you know, I got family stuff. I got my sister's birthday is on Christmas, so we got a birthday party for her on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And I go to my grandma's farm in the morning on Christmas Eve and get presents. Well, I don't get presents much anymore there. We do what they call a Chinese gift exchange where we all put presents into a pile and we all draw numbers and we, you know, go in order and, you know what that is. I think pretty much everyone knows.
Yeah, we actually did it tonight at the Christmas party I was at.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if there's any Chinese people listening to us right now. If that's offensive to you, get over it. Because I don't know what to call it. But other than that, yeah. And I like that idea because before, I'd have to buy presents for everybody. And I'm like, it's so just like confusing. Because then sometimes I'll buy presents, forget I buy presents for that person, and then I have like two presents for the same person, you know, and not one present for for another person, you know. So I buy, so I buy one present that I know can go for my aunt, but then I leave my uncle out, so I can't buy get my aunt's present to my uncle because it's a girl, you know.
Yeah. So
keeps it simple. And like I said, I don't really get that much, you know, as far as presents for me, you know. But if I really want something during the year, I can go out and buy it myself. It's not like it's not like when I was a kid, when I was depending on Christmas and my birthday to get stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Nowadays, it's like, well, that's why I don't ask for money for Christmas, because it's I don't feel bad. I almost feel bad asking for expensive stuff, because all I hear about is how much money people don't have, you know?
Yeah.
How about you? What you got going on for Christmas?
We do a family day. We're very basically no one leaves the house on Christmas Day, and we just basically do that. And then Christmas Eve, we actually do a Chinese gift exchange as well on Christmas Eve, and we cook ham and stuff like that, and then we each open one gift from anyone that we want to open it from, and then we just hang out. And then Christmas Eve, I get to work, I'm pretty sure, until the closing of the store. So, that'll be a long day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think my office is going to be closed. No, it's closed Friday. I might take Thursday off of work because there's really nothing going on. Especially if I'm not feeling good. I mean, I want to get ready for better before Christmas. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what we should learn about?
What?
This could be a very educational show as well. We're going to learn about the top 10 unusual Christmas traditions from around the world. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10. We're going to take our trip to Austria. If you thought that being on Santa's naughty list was the scariest thing to have it on Christmas, you've never heard of Krampus Night. Krampus is Santa's evil twin whose job is to beat and punish all the children who have misbehaved. Of course, everyone knows about Krampus. On December 5th, men dress up in some of the scariest devil-like costumes you can imagine, drunkenly run around towns, hitting people with sticks and switches. Damn, that sounds like my kind of party. Get drunk and hit people with sticks? I mean, fuck. You can't beat that. The Krampus legend originates...
That's awesome.
No, shit. Austria. They know what's up. Well, Arnold came from Austria, too, so you know, he knows how to party.
Yeah.
The Krampus legend originates in the Germanic Alpine regions and is widespread throughout Hungary, Bavaria, Slovenia, and especially in popular in Austria. Of course, you can dress up and beat people with sticks. I mean, fuck.
Of course.
That's like the best. We should start that now.
It's like whoever makes you angry, you get one night. It's like the Purge, but like with sticks.
You dress up like Krampus. It's a Christmas tradition too. It's like,
yeah,
it's up there with hanging holly and like singing Christmas carols, beating people with sticks. Wow.
That sounds so much funner.
The traditions of Christmas. Let's see. Now we're going to take our get on Santa's sleigh. When you get on Santa's sleigh, are you nice and safe, buckled in?
Yes.
Because we're going to take a trip to Spain, Portugal, and Italy. A traditional Christmas tradition in parts of Spain. In parts of Spain, Portugal, and Italy is to set up a model village of Bethlehem. Oh, O little town of Bethlehem, along with Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, a caganer, or shitter in English is placed in the scene. So you place a shitter in the scene. The shitter is a figurine, traditionally of a man, in the act of defecating, pants around his knees, bending over with a pile of feces at his heels. He is usually placed in the corner, perhaps because he needs his privacy. The caganer has been around for a few hundred years, and in recent times it is evolved from a traditionally dressed man taking care of business to figurines of celebrities, nuns, politicians, and even Santa Claus. So do you have your shitter by the manger?
That's so
away
weird.
In a manger, no toilet to be found. A shitter was by Jesus, and his poop was dark brown. Number 8888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888888 practice a traditional fortune telling method to predict their relationship status for the upcoming year. Little arrows there. If you'd like to give this a try, here's how to do it. Stand with your back to your door and toss one of your shoes over your shoulder. If it lands with the toe facing the door, it means that you will get married within a year. If it lands with the heel facing the door, you're in for another year of unmarried status. Oh, hell. You can learn if you get married.
Wow.
Start throwing your shoe over your shoulder. Number 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. Catalonia. Oh, God. Cacatillo, the pooping log, of course, is a bizarre and widespread Christmas tradition in Catalonia. It starts with a hollowed-out log, which is propped up on a four little leg-like sticks and then painted to have a face. Every night, beginning on December 8th, Cacatillo is fed in quotation marks and covered with a blanket so that he doesn't have a so he doesn't catch a cold, which is a good thing. You don't want your pooping log to catch a cold, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because you want it coming out the other end. Exactly. On Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, Cacatillo is put in the fireplace. Oh my God. Oh my God. And beaten with a stick in order to. Oh my. What a kind of sick people would take Cacatillo, put in a pit on a fire and beat it with a stick?
It's like the candy house person. Where they feed you and then they get you fat and then eat you. That's sadistic.
And they don't want them catching cold. We think these people are all nice, you know, and just taking care of their pooping log. We put a blanket on it. And the Cacatillo has a smiling face on it. There's a picture. He's all happy and shit. I'm going to send you the link on your Facebook page.
Okay.
You can take a look at it. Hang on. I'm going to do it right now. All right, here we go. I need this page. All right.
I'm waiting. I haven't come in yet.
It's coming. Coming. C-O-M-I-N-G, just so you know. Not the other guy.
I was so about to make a dirty comment, but you ruined it.
Yeah, I figured you might be wondering about that. So I figured I'd be more specific. Here we go.
Oh, you posted it on my Facebook.
Yes, I did.
Nice.
I should put it in the messenger. I didn't think about that. Sorry. I'm still distraught over the. I'm going to let you read the next one, though. You have it up?
It's loading.
All right. Well, when I get past number kind of two, I'm still distraught over the pooping log. He's encouraged by beating him with a stick. That's encouragement. He's encouraged along with the beating by singing songs with catchy lyrics such as poop log, poop torn, hazelnuts and cottage cheese. If you don't poop well, hit you with a stick. Poop log. Poop log, poop torn, hazelnut and cottage cheese. If you don't poop well, I'll hit you with a stick. Poop log. That was the best Christmas song ever.
That was so weird.
Look,
but
he's
such a cute little log.
I know. When he is done pooping candies, nuts, and such, Cagatillo will then give one last push to reveal an onion, a head of garlic, or salt. Or salt. Okay. Seriously, what the fuck is wrong with people in Catalonia? When he is done pooping candies, nuts, and such. Yeah, okay. This is, I don't know. Wow, I could make some really funny jokes here, but yeah.
Oh my god. So weird. All right. Are we ready for the next one? It seems like this one's a short one.
Number six. All right. Six.
Oh, we're on six? I was about to say five. I'm glad you got that number right.
I'm keeping track.
All right.
I'm paying attention. Like some people I know.
I have short term memory loss.
Mm.
Especially when I'm looking at an adorable smiling log. I mean,
oh my god, he's all happy now. He's all happy. He's got his blanket on. He thinks he's with a good family. He's gonna take care of him.
What?
He has a new family, new place to live. He's like, oh wow, guys, I really made it. You know, oh my god, my cousins, they're probably, you know, on the log pile or something. You know, they're gonna be burned up and stuff. But you know, I'm happy. You know, I made it. Little does he know.
Yeah, little does he know he's gonna get sick. So wrong.
And sung at.
All right. Let's get into the Santa sleigh, and we're going to Norway.
Okay. I'm buckled up. Got my head on. My LZ's
your helmet
on. Everything.
This guy's crazy.
Yes, I do.
He's like a NASCAR driver.
You're fucking Rudolph. You need to get off the sauce. All right. Continue.
Come out for Groom to ride on. Bad omen, apparently. He walked
seriously, need to speak in the microphone.
What?
I can't hear you.
I had to put you on speaker.
You sound like you're like.
All brooms in the houses are hidden, and men go outside and fire shotguns to scare the bad spirits away.
So no broomsticks. So it's almost like mixing Halloween with Christmas, with the witches and stuff.
Yeah, it seems very paranormal.
You've had your holiday. It's time for Christmas. Now it's time. Yeah, it's very, well, Christmas is a very paranormal holiday. You know? It's like the last, you know, big holiday before, like, you know, winter comes in. The last bit of light before, you know, stuff starts really getting dark, you know? So it can be scary.
Exactly.
You know that song, Scary Ghost Stories? And I got an article about that, too. Once we get done with this, why we tell Christmas stories, or Christmas stories at Christmas time. Ghost stories at Christmas time. But now,
sounds
we're on
fun.
To number five.
No, we're on number seven, goofball.
No, we just had number seven. Number six. Yeah, was it six? We'll just, fuck, you know, whatever. We'll, you know, we'll get to the end when we get to the end. I think we're number six now.
Six was the broom.
Yeah, the Norwegian one, right? Well, which one was that?
Yeah. So now we're on seven.
Is that number seven?
Yeah, now we're on seven.
Japan.
All right.
For many Japanese, traditional Christmas dinner is fried chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken. It is so popular and well-marketed that reservations may have to be made to eat at KFC on Christmas in Japan. So if you want to go to have Christmas in Japan, be prepared to have fried chicken because that's what they have. Fried chicken.
I personally don't like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I mean, I don't not like it. I mean, it's okay. I like Bojangles better or Popeyes. But
I like Bojangles. I don't even like Popeyes chicken.
I think I eat Bojangles the most out of all of them.
Weird. I guess they pushing fast food. Maybe they're trying to prepare to send people to that one place that they
cook the log after feeding it.
Don't bring up logging anymore.
What?
I just don't. You have this day, you know, when everything's going okay, and you know everything's fine. But then you read this article, a story about Loggy the pooping log, and you see his face, and you know what's going to happen. You know what's in store for him. You know, and
it's such a sad day when you see their face.
And all he's pooping out is nuts and a salt herring and
an onion.
A thing of garlic. Yeah, I mean.
Imagine how much that burns to poop out an onion.
Or
like
the fact that you're on fire,
onion.
Too.
Yeah, like a whole onion he poops out. Like
a whole onion. It's got to, like.
That would hurt.
You really got to, like. I mean. It'll rip your asshole wide open.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how logs assholes operate though. You know, because these ours expand a little bit, and I'm pretty sure the log's asshole doesn't expand.
No,
so,
because I mean, unless it gets really maybe that's why they put him in the fire, is to help him get the onion out of his system. Because when wood gets hot or cold, it expands, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably, but I don't know what the, I mean. Not sure where the beating comes in.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Not really sure where the beating comes in.
Oh, man. Oh, log. Shall we go on to the next one to get our minds off the...
Yes. Let's just go on to the next one because, like I said, we're bringing the freaks down with the beating of our log.
All righty, we are on our way to number eight.
We're counting down, not counting. We realize we're counting down, right? Not counting up. We start with 10, 9, 8. So we're at 7, so it'll be 6.
Oh, so we're at 4.
Four. Yeah, we are. Damn.
All right. We
one,
are going
two,
to Caracas.
Three. We're on
Venezuela.
Three.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
No, there's... No, we're on four. There's three more after this one.
Really?
So we're on four.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ah. All right. There we go. Yeah.
So we are going to Caracas, Venezuela, where churchgoers have been... where churchgoers attend an early morning mass between December 16th and December 24th. Not so strange for mostly Catholic population. What is unusual about this practice is how everyone gets to church on roller skates. The streets are blocked off to vehicular traffic around until 8 a.m., and children the night before tie one end of a piece of string to their big toe and hang the other out the window. As roller skaters go by in the morning, they give a tug to all the strings hanging out the windows.
Okay.
that seems like the funniest thing, except I can't rollerblade.
I can't. I mean...
What happens if they rip a little kid's toe off?
I mean, yeah, you're flying down the road and you grab a string that's attached to a little kid's toe. That seems dangerous.
That does. It's like, you don't need that big toe. Yank.
Jeez.
Right? You know
and
what
all
they
the
should
wise
do is have...
They arrive to Bethlehem on roller skates. At least I roller skate on sand, though. That's all. That's a miracle right there.
Someone lives on a dirt road.
Exactly. Well, then you miss out. You know, you're talking about Jesus walking on the water. If Jesus roller skated on sand, that would be a miracle.
That would be a miracle.
That would be up there. That would be up there with rocking on the water. roller skating on sand.
Yeah. You know those wheels are going to be like, beep, nope, I ain't rolling, even if it's just one little grain of sand.
Probably not. Roller skating on sand is not easy. Let's take a trip to the Ukraine. Ukraine, that's right. Number settle down on Santa's sleigh. Take a trip to the Ukraine, comrade. And learn about Ukrainian Christmas
tree. I got my helmet on.
That's right. Buckle up for safety. In Ukraine, Christmas trees are decorated with all the typical kinds of ornaments and the one not so typical. An artificial spider and web are hidden in the tree, and good luck is given to the one who finds it. The Ukrainian folktale says that a poor widowed mother could not afford decorations for her family's Christmas tree. One Christmas morning, she awoke to find a spider had beautifully decorated the tree with its web, making for a very happy Christmas. This is, can you find a spider hidden on his Christmas tree? And I found it right away. I can't really make fun of this story. This is making for good radio as you try to find a Christmas spider. Well, she looks for the Christmas spider. I'm going to go ahead and read the second story, or the second and last story, from Great Britain.
You already found the spider?
Yes, I did. If you would like your Christmas wish to come true in Great Britain, all you have to do is take a turn stirring the Christmas pudding. Traditional Christmas pudding is made of dried fruits and nuts, similar to fruitcake. It is often doused in brandy and flambéed in a dimly lit room for dramatic effect. Again, not a story I can really make fun of.
The Ukraine thing needs to have a little bit more talked about it. Why is
the spider
inside of their house? Yes, I found the spider.
Spiders can get in your house. You know?
But,
I mean, you can't stop spiders from getting in the house. And the spider, it's like Charlotte's Web. The spider decorated the Christmas tree. For her. She's in an afford decoration. So the spider is like, you know what? I got this. You know what? You work hard for your money. You work hard. I'm going to decorate your tree for you. So the spider gave them
the gift. Was an artificial spider. It was hidden in the tree. I thought it was a real spider.
No. It was the spider's web in the tree.
Gotcha.
Decoration.
Yeah.
Looking for a real spider, and that's going to be hard to find.
Yeah. No, I saw saw the one, but I missed the part during the story where you said it was an artificial spider put in the tree.
Well, that's kind of a key.
A real spider.
That is definitely a key element to the story that you need to pay attention to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got them. All right. Yes. Well, I mean... There could probably be real spiders in the tree, maybe, but not on purpose.
Yeah, it'd be terrifying. I would probably destroy and burn the tree.
I wouldn't go that far. It's just a spider.
You can come and kill it.
Flick it off.
All right.
All right. Last one.
We have come to the end of our stories. So now we are number one. And we are going to La Fonte de la Figuera. Man, I actually rolled my R pretty decently there.
Figuera.
Spain seems to have quite a few unusual Christmas traditions. Here is a New Year's Eve one for you. Wow, that went from Christmas to New Year's.
Awkward.
Wow. I know. I mean, I was expecting Christmas and you throw it New Year's at me. That's kind of rude, you know?
Wow, I know, right? All right. In Spain, it is customary to wear red underwear on New Year's Eve.
Mm.
The small town on La Fuente La Figuera has taken this tradition one step further. A New Year's Eve run wearing just red underwear. People of all ages participate in this event. Now, question.
Well, then.
I think that might be encouraging pedophilia.
It could be.
Children are participating.
People of all ages participate in this event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have old guys in tidy whities running next to young girls in tidy whities. You never, damn.
That'd be weird.
Leave it to the Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that stick. I'm not touching that story with a 10-foot pole. That, but we see now, you guys, we've learned different traditions people use during, you know, they partake in Christmas time. You want to go to Australia, you can beat kids up with sticks. You go to Catalonia.
The poor pooping log.
You can beat your pooping log with a stick. Oh, my God.
And now, traditional United States do not seem as weird because of the international theme.
No, we don't.
Thank you,
we,
international
we step up our game.
Countries.
Yes, we
need
to step
up
our game. We need to think of some
like,
weird traditions.
Just let's not beat any pooping logs. That'd be too sad.
No, that's just sick on so many levels. All right, here's an interesting article. Telling ghost stories is a lost tradition on Christmas Eve. Let's see, anybody's calling in. Nope. All right, let's see here. It's a long article, so you know. While reading a list of all the modern Christmas traditions that were either borrowed from pagan winter festivals or invented by the English during the mid-19th century, it is remarkable to see how little Christmas has changed over the past 160 years. People still send Christmas cards, decorate evergreen trees, go door-to-door caroling, and stuff stockings with candy. Christmas, at least as most Americans celebrate it, really is a product of Victorian England. In the last few decades, though, perhaps one of the most interesting Victorian Christmas traditions has been almost completely forgotten or lost from memory. Whenever five or six English-speaking people meet around a fire on Christmas Eve, they start telling each other ghost stories. With British humorist Jerome K. Jerome, as part of his introduction to an anthology of Christmas ghost stories entitled Told After Supper in 1891. Nothing satisfies us on Christmas Eve but to hear each other tell authentic anecdotes about specters. The practice of gathering around the fire on Christmas Eve to tell ghost stories was as much a part of Christmas for the Victorian English as Santa Claus is for us. Traces of this now forgotten tradition occasionally appear in noticeable places at Christmas time, although their significance is generally overlooked. One verse of Andy Williams' classic Christmas song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, for instance, clearly says, there'll be tales to tell scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. The most obvious example of how Victorian ghost stories have persisted to some degree in modern Christmas celebrations, however, is, of course, Charles Dickens' own ghostly little story, as he calls it, in the introduction, A Christmas Carol. Some argue that Dickens' Christmas ghost story single-handedly saved the winter holiday from dying out during the Industrial Revolution. At a time when England was no longer celebrating Christmas, Dickens reintroduced many centuries-old traditions with his instant holiday classic. It has become so much a part of Christmas in its various film adaptations and theatrical versions that people don't even wonder why Dickens chose, of all things, four spectral visitors to bring about Ebenezer's transformation from miserly curmudgeon to selfless philanthropist. Can we talk? Isn't there something inherently unseasonal about ghosts? Don't ghosts belong with all the ghouls and goblins of Halloween? Not so for Victorian England. There must be something ghostly in the air of Christmas, something about the clothes muggy atmosphere that draws upon the ghosts. Like the dampness of the summer rains brings out the frogs and the snails. For ghost stories to be told on any other evening than the evening of the 24th of December would be impossible in English society as at present regulated, Jerome wrote. He continues, so what is it about Christmas that goes so well with the ghosts? Such a question inevitably brings up the issue of why we celebrate Christmas in December at all. As low protector of England during the mid-17th century, Puritan leader Oliver Cromwell was perhaps not entirely without justification when he tried to abolish the celebration of Christmas. As he argued, nowhere in the Bible does it tell Christians to celebrate Christ's birth on the 25th of December, nor in fact does it mention any holiday other than the Lord's Sabbath. On top of that, 25th of December was not arbitrarily chose for Christians. Rather, it was selected because of its connection with pagan festivals like Yule and Sol Invictus, the birth of the unconquered sun, both of which commemorated the winter solstice or the longest night of the year. These festivals celebrated the death of light and its subsequent rebirth the following day. It was for the obvious symbolic connotations that early Christians adopted states significant to pagan Romans and northern Europeans. In addition to being the longest night of the year, however, winter solstice was also traditionally held to be the most haunted due to its association with the death of the sun and light. It was the one night of the year when the barrier between the worlds of the living and the deceased was thinnest. On Christmas Eve, ghosts could walk the earth and finish unsettled business, as exemplified by the apparition of Marley in Charles Dickens' Christmas masterpiece. In short, Victorian Christmas celebration was drew heavily on pagan symbols like Yule, logs, holly berries, and Father Christmas himself, also embraced the winter holidays associations with the supernatural to create one of the most popular annual traditions. Unfortunately, of all the traditions and rituals that have survived through the generations, the Victorian custom of recounting blood-curdling ghost stories with friends and family around the fire on a Christmas Eve has been almost completely forgotten. So, if you decide to watch The Others or The Sixth Sense this Christmas, instead of How the Grinch Stole Christmas or Elf, you'll be keeping alive a Victorian Christmas Eve tradition. So that's why that's where the tradition of telling ghost stories came from.
Huh. That's actually pretty interesting. I mean, if you think about it, I would see that Christmas would be a paranormal-like celebration considering an angel appeared out of nowhere and led... What was that?
The whole Christmas story is paranormal, you know. An angel appeared to Mary, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, that's not normal. But even
no,
that was like
not.
I was saying before, when we were talking about earlier, because this is the last holiday before, and winter comes.
Are you hearing the music
the light,
play?
The light's gone. Huh?
Are you hearing the music play?
Is there music playing?
Yeah.
Where?
Hold on. Is it on my end? Oh. Hold on. Billy started playing in my ear.
Huh?
David Bowie was playing in my ear, and I couldn't figure out if it was you or if it was on my side. It was on my side.
Oh. I was like, that's random. We've had weird shit.
Yeah.
I've gotten EVPs on my show before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
Yep. Holly and I were doing our birthday show, and we had Dennis on, a few people on, and as we were talking, we heard a voice say. A male voice say hi, and a little girl voice say hello. And there wasn't any of us.
Wow, that's strange.
You know, it's funny. People talk about Halloween, the veil between the living and the dead being so thin on Halloween, but really, they're talking about it, you know, the veil being thin on Christmas Eve, or the, I guess, the winter solstice, because it's right, you know, right before, and then right on the border between the light of the fall and the summer and the spring to the darkness of wintertime, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I just think that there's many times when the veil may be thin.
You sure want to go out to the Han 360 house on Christmas Eve and do an investigation, which I know I can't do.
That'd be cool.
You know, it's Christmas Eve. I know.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking
That'd
awesome.
Be pretty cool.
But we got family crap. Just kidding. Family stuff. Yeah. I can skip it.
Oh, yeah. So, since I think we
right,
only have like 10 minutes left of the show, what is a weird Christmas tradition your family does?
A weird Christmas tradition that my family does. I don't. I mean, all right, when I was a kid, up until probably when I was right before I had Rihanna, we used to wait on the top of the stairs. My sister and I would wait up top of the stairs, and we had to ask, did he come, like Santa Claus? You know, did he come? So, and my parents would go downstairs and make coffee and make a big deal out of it. But I did that up until I had Rihanna. You know, then we stopped. But probably until I was 22, I'd sit up there with my sisters, and we'd ask if he came, you know. And my parents would give us the thumbs up to come on down and run down the stairs to see what Santa Claus brought us.
Five.
And also on Christmas Eve we'd sit around the table and sing the 12 Days of Christmas. That's another thing we used to do. How about you?
That's cool. I wouldn't say we have any weird traditions. Every year we do a slumber party. With all of us
mm-hmm.
kids. I mean, we've been doing it since I was little, where we all sleep in one room and basically hang out for the night and then wait until the morning time. Well, now it keeps getting later and later. I think we're actually doing, like, the whole Christmas thing this year, like, at noon, because all of us are like, we're going to sleep
in. Sleeping in.
But we all sleep in one room, and then our parents come and get us and are like, well, time to get up, and so we'll get up. So everyone comes in.
That's awesome.
Town, and we all get beds and stuff and put it on the floor in one room and crash, basically.
That's so cool. Wow, that's an awesome tradition. I like this. Like, I used to do that with my sister. It's like, when we were younger, we'd have, like, my grandma and my aunts and uncles come up to Detroit, and they'd all stay in our house, and so they'd take over our bedrooms. So my sister and I would sleep in our parents' room in sleeping bags, and we'd hear, like, acorns hit the roof or whatever, and we'd be convinced that it was Santa Claus, you know?
That's awesome.
So, like, oh, my God, it's Santa.
Yeah.
So, be quiet. He will come in for not, you know, for a wake. So what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I have to say I do like The Polar Express.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an adorable movie. And then obviously The Christmas Story. But other than that, I mean, I'm not a huge movie watcher unless it's nerdy stuff. I don't necessarily have, like, a favorite one I have to watch every year.
I think my favorite one, which I don't watch it every year, but, I mean, if there's some movies that I mean, at Christmas time that I watched when I was a kid that stand out to me, you know, which I don't feel I need to watch them every year, but there are two of them would be White Christmas with Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
And, Christmas Carol with George C. Scott. Those are the movies to watch when I was a kid that stand out. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
of course, there's The Wonderful Life. Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many adaptions of that movie. But I like the one with George C. Scott.
I have never seen A Wonderful Life.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not the greatest movie ever. But what's your favorite Christmas song?
Ooh, I like Mistletoe. It has so many different artists who do it, and I don't even know who the original artist is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Santa Baby.
Santa Baby, Santa Baby.
Yep.
Put your leg on my tree. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
I'm glad you do, because I sure as hell don't. What's a good Christmas song? I mean, for me to have one, Last Christmas, I mean, I like that song, you know, by Wham. The George Michael version, not the butchered Glee version. But I like that song. You sing along to that song. One night, there's one time I heard Silent Night at midnight on Christmas Eve. And it was like when I was a kid, back when like the magic of Christmas is still there, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom was still alive, and it was like Christmas, it was like super excited for Christmas, you know? And you hear Silent Night playing on the radio, and it's like, and it's one of the things
that's
where it's
cool.
Like you hear, I've heard listen to music on Christmas Eve from like years, and at one moment it stands out, you know, where I remember that. Well, so it's significant because it stands out, you know.
I definitely love Silent Night.
That's a good song. Well, I think I'm gonna go ahead and play our song out. And just kind of end the show. We've had a good time. We've laughed. We've learned about pooping logs.
There's four pooping logs.
Yeah, there's four pooping logs. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
You too. It's not like we're not going to talk then, but.
Exactly. Well, I hope all our freaks have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Yes, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, and we'll be back next week. We're not taking any time off. Plowing straight ahead.
What time off?
Next week we've got Jake Fife on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Exactly. Of course, if I'm sick, we may not have a show, so we'll see what happens. But, all right, guys.
Get better.
Have a very freaky Christmas. I'll talk to you off air. And
all righty. Good night,
talk
guys.
Talk to you soon. Love you. Good night.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the ones we love, sharing so much joy and cheer. What a wonderful feeling, watching the ones we love having so much fun. I was sitting by the fireside, taking a walk through the snow, listening to a children's choir, singing songs about blessed way that he came to offer us. Why can't it remain? Oh, through the year, each day the same. Ah, that's what I. It's truly amazing that spirit of Christmas.